podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
One of those days, mate.
Why?
Ever, like, have a series of things happen and so to just be just sort of an ordinary day and then something goes a little bit wrong and then something goes a little bit wrong and or you see it unfold in front of you and you're like, oh, I've got to be on my guard because I reckon something's coming for me.
Oh, Final Destination style.
Well, maybe a little bit. Okay. Do you, have you ever had that happen?
Yeah, every day. It's called anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had a series of sort of wild things happen. Not wild, but like things happen.
Lemony Snickets.
On the way. Is that, I don't know. Is that a?
Yeah, it's a term. You should say that in conversation with people. Okay. They'll know what snickets. You mean.
Okay. As I was coming into work, so living in Lara, driving into town this morning, and each day I drive all the way through Corio, and it's early in the morning, so sometimes you see some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I got to that big intersection, Cox Road, St. George's, where mm-hmm. Norlane Arc is.
Yep.
And I'm Geelong bound in like the middle lane. And I see movement at the crossing heading towards St. George's Road, so heading sort of east.
East.
And I'm like, what am I looking at? So the guy's going from the island in the middle of Melbourne Road to the slip lane and he's pushing a trolley. It looks like a metal trolley and on it is a big, quite big flat screen TV.
Opened or unopened?
Opened.
Okay.
That is standing up and is secured by what looks like a whole heap of like clear packing tape.
Oh, so, my.
So he's like pushing it along and I'm like, what? And he's like, I'm like, is that a trolley or like a shopping trolley or like a, no, like it's not, it's like a flat trolley, but he's got it and he's like swerving a bit. So the road's obviously uneven and he's trying to keep the TV.
Oh God, I can drop this off for you, Marketplace edition.
A couple of, this is like 5 a.m. A couple of boxes are on the trolley as well. I'm like, I don't know if I saw what I thought I saw. So as the lights go green, I drive on and go past him in the slip lane. And that's what I saw, is that it's got a big-ass TV in the middle of Corio on a trolley at 5 a.m. And he has actually stopped to take his jumper off because it's quite hot. And so underneath he's got his, like, one of those traditional white Bond singlets. And then I imagine he was on his way to then continue pushing the TV to where it either should be or shouldn't be.
Well, was he in a rush?
Yeah, he didn't seem to be in too much of a rush, so it's probably a good sign.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, the things you see.
That is insane. Like, I mean, maybe you started this because you said last week you were going to drag a barbecue across Lara to drop it off to your mate.
I should not judge, should
I? No, you shouldn't. No, you shouldn't at all. As far as a TV moving goes, I mean, that seems – it might not make it in its original state.
Yeah.
The TVs, you look at them sometimes and you're like, oh, no.
All of that.
Not working anymore.
Exactly right. And then I got to Ford, where Bunnings is, you know. And I'm still heading, obviously, into Geelong. And that road there, I want to say station, but it heads towards North Shore.
Yeah.
And the other way goes sort of towards, goes past Bunnings. And on that corner of Ford there, there was someone had crashed into a light pole.
Oh.
And there was like a ute that had stopped. I don't know if the two cars had collided, but there was a ute pulled up and then a sedan, like, and they were, and then someone was getting out straight into the middle lane as I'm like coming up at 70 or whatever. So I'm like, I'm gonna change into the outer lane, so I stay well clear of these people. And then as I go past, I'm like, oh God, yeah, no, there's definitely been a bit of a crash there. And so I'm like, wow, okay, that's two things. I think I might need to just be a little bit on guard as I complete my journey into work today.
Yes.
Driving sort of go past Riffleside, you know.
You like to do that for morning?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't actually peel off. I didn't. Yeah. You know, sometimes I do peel off and I go Western Beach, but no, this time I didn't. I went straight and then I peeled off at Mercer Street.
Okay.
Because I was coming straight to work, right? So peel off at Mercer and I'm driving along and as I go past our old friends at Get Your Gear On and there's the big apartment building there on the beach side and on the other side you sort of got Texas and there's a little side street that pops out there.
Yes.
And people turn right but they have to go, it's like a divided road, Mercer Street. and someone pulls up at that intersection as I'm coming along. To be fair, it's only 50 along there. So they're coming along there.
And you were going 100, is that what you mean?
No.
Okay.
Fortunately, because they pull up at that T-junction or whatever, and I'm coming along. So they're on my left. They stop with their brakes and then they drive. And I whack on the brakes.
What?
And I whack on the brakes and hit the horn, and they hit the brakes and wave like, sorry, and I swerve around them.
That's too much for a morning.
I know, right?
That is too much for one man to bear.
I know, and I knew it was coming. I knew they were coming for me. And
did
it happened.
Did you have your lights on, your headlights on?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't. I haven't had a beer for like 3 days. I'm fine.
Okay, I don't want to be around you today.
Yeah, no, I think that's it. That's the things in three.
Okay, good. Yeah, you're right. We've ticked it off.
What a
insane
trip.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
Yesterday, you opened the sealed section of a world we knew not about. The mystery shopping world.
Yeah, yeah. We found out that there are people who are ex-mystery shoppers out there around Geelong.
Yes.
And what their experience had been like.
And initially it was said to be a bit of fun, but then it turned a little bit not fun. Apparently the pay is not that great.
Yeah.
And so that's why we thought, how about we chat to someone that knows what they're talking about when it comes to mystery shopping?
Tony from Cario, mate, we know quite a bit about you, regular caller to the show, but you're about to reveal something about yourself that we haven't heard before.
Yeah, so I actually used to manage a team of about 13 mystery shoppers.
And
we used to do everything from like your call-ins, your own shop for retail and obviously commercial, as well as things like your charity fundraisers that you meet on the road and in the shops.
Okay.
Wow. So I thought it was literally just retail, but there's so many different stores. So you were kind of like the head mystery shopper for all your mystery minions.
Yeah, so I got to read through probably about 120 reports a day.
Great.
That sounds amazingly fun.
And then I had to work out roughly what the vibe was. You get usually about 6 mystery shoppers would do each shop.
Yeah. Okay.
And then before you write up the final report, you'd see whether there was a bias in the reports. Quite often you get people that didn't like the brand.
Oh.
And it came through in their report really strong.
Yeah. Okay. And what about the pay? We've heard the pay is pretty bad.
So it starts off really bad. And the whole point of that is to get rid of those that I just after a quick buck and don't want to give an honest opinion.
Okay.
Once you get about 3 months or about 30 jobs under your belt, some of the guys that were working under me, they get things like $400 or $500 meat vouchers to go to a local butcher.
Yeah.
And they have to ask for certain cuts of meat, and they got to keep all the meat at the end of it.
Oh, my that's God. Good. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So you're not in this industry anymore. Did something happen?
So there was a bit of a issue in the industry. There's a lot of companies that came in and started up their own makeshift, and there wasn't really any rules in regards to how mystery shoppers could shop or any laws in how they had to behave in the shop.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of the companies that came in, they really wanted to push the salespeople to actually fight back. So they would get customers to go in and push things off shelves.
What?
They get customers to go in and actually abuse staff members to see how they reacted to it.
What?
And it caused a really big moral dilemma in the industry. A lot of the companies that were doing things right actually walked away from the industry because they had big businesses actually ringing up going, oh, we're being told that this salesperson gets really rude. We want you to send in a mystery shopper and abuse them and see if they do actually get rude so we can fire them.
Oh, that's insane.
Well, I feel like we've just scratched the surface on the mystery shopping world, and I'm a bit scared to go down the rabbit hole, Tom.
Yeah, don't mess with big mystery.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll get you. All right, thanks, Tony. I'm sorry, I probably should have kept your name anonymous there, but, you know, you never worked with Boeing, did you?
Never with Boeing.
What is this laser on your head, Tom?
Duck!
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
Okay, so in the Annie today, there is this story of a couple of fishermen, Kevin and Shane, who went out and beneath their boat off Anglesey, they saw a great white shark.
That happens. You hear about that
stuff. It happens, right? Yeah. And I, one, am a lover of sharks, and great whites I think are amazing, but I've never seen one in the wild. Mm. So how would I react? I'm not sure. But these two decided to hang around with it for 2 hours. And the way they've described the Great White is not as I've ever heard one described before. We've got Kevin McLaughlin on the phone right now. Good morning, Kev.
Good morning.
Mate, sorry, are you a mad keen fisherman? Because you'd want to be, given the situation.
Yeah, I try and get out most weekends. It keeps me sane.
Good. Yeah. So you and your mate Shane headed out, and then what happened?
Appeared underneath the boat, and it was as big as the boat. And, then it just proceeded to, just swim around the boat and pop its head out of the water and, just sort of, looking at us and, didn't mind getting touched on the nose and, just constantly rubbing itself under the boat and nudging it. And, it was quite weird, but it was definitely a good experience.
At any time, did you feel like it was sizing you up and saying, can I flip this thing?
Maybe potentially, but it wasn't big enough, I don't think, to really do us any damage.
Did you or Shane scream a little bit ever? Was it sort of a moment where you were both like, oh, God, and then you're like, oh, no, it's just scratching itself against the boat. It's not trying to tip us over.
No, not really. We've seen plenty of sharks, so we sort of know their behaviour. I definitely didn't feel scared or worried about the situation.
So how long were you out there with the shark for?
Probably at least 2 hours. It was just happy cruising around and probably eyeing us off and
I bet you didn't catch much in those 2 hours, though. I can't imagine there were many.
It was very quiet. we were hoping to get a gummy shark, for a feed of fish at home, but it just didn't happen.
Now you've quoted that it was acting like a big puppy. The footage is insane. Is it you or Shane that's actually patting it on the head and feeding it a fish at one point?
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, wow. So it had brought its nose right up to the boat a couple of times before you did that, I'm sure. So you were like, I reckon next time he comes around, I'm just going to whack one in his mouth?
Yeah, pretty well. Yeah, I thought it wasn't actually feeding. It wasn't hungry. Like we threw a mackerel out in front of it and it couldn't care less. It just let it just sink to the bottom and it wasn't hungry.
Okay.
Did you and Shane name it?
No.
Oh, come on, Kev. When you go out again, off Anglesey, if you see it, you have to call it by name.
Maybe Little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy.
I like it. Little Jimmy. Write that one down.
Okay.
Did you wish you had a tennis ball to throw and have it bring back and just play a bit of fetch?
Yeah, potentially if I was hitting a seal with a tennis racket, it might have eaten the seal.
God, we don't do that, Kev. No, Kev, thank you so much for joining us this morning, mate. The footage is unreal. And, you two, fishermen, they're a different breed, but we love it, Kev. So make sure you say g'day to Shane for us as well.
Yeah, no, I will do. When I get to work, he's actually my boss, so.
Nice. Hey, so when are you guys going out again? Like, has it made you think twice, just quickly, before you go?
No, we'll probably be back out this weekend and, have another look.
Go see Little Jimmy.
See what else you can find. All right, stay safe out there, whatever you do, mate.
We'll do. Thanks.
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggie, say thanks.
Speaking of junk, for the first time in 2026, hang on, here we go.
Sing it. You stopped coming around.
Are you even our pal?
You disappear when the time runs out. Ling it!
Now you wanna get down.
Do you think we're both clowns?
Yes. Let's see what you brought to town.
Go. And the K-Rock poll, 5223-2955, which of those voices, those singing voices, was flatter? Tom or Loggie, please let me know. Hello, guys.
Hey, welcome back, mate.
Thanks so much.
We miss you, and we've also had a lot of feedback.
Yeah.
That the show is so much better without you, so it is a bit...
I'm not surprised, and I'm so excited to hear that.
No.
But I'm happy that I'm able to, and you guys are letting me come back in on a Wednesday morning and have a bit of a chat and a catch-up.
Yeah, we're excited that you're back, mate. Have you had a good Christmas, New Year's period?
Been really nice.
Yeah.
And for all of our wonderful listeners out there, I can assure you I did not end up in hospital.
Yay! Yes!
All right, that's all we were hoping for.
For the first time since 2022.
Yeah.
No heart issues, no major anaphylactic reactions, anything like that. It was a really nice summer. Thank you.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's the radio show in a podcast.
Cameron Ling's in the studio.
Now, I want you two to be the judge of this as to whether or not this was done on purpose and was genius by my kids, or I was just incredibly unlucky and it was just a turn of events.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the other day, I reckon it must have been Monday, finally got the kids off to school. They've all headed there. And as soon as they head off to school, I try and make sure I sit down and let's do some work. And just so the house is really quiet, which I quite enjoy, given the madhouse that is our normal mornings at the Ling household. And really, really quiet. And I've just started working away. And then out of nowhere, in the silence, I hear this like crackle and a voice like, I couldn't really make out exactly what the words are. So I nerved up straight away. I'm like, what? So
haunted.
I went to the front door and thought, no. Clearly there's no one around.
Yeah.
Went back to work. Same thing happens. Turns out, and I did think of this straight away, that the boys have got these little walkie-talkies. But they're good, like, walkie-talkies that I think Grandma and Granddad bought for them. They've got a bit of range.
Love walkie-talkies.
If you've got them on the wrong channel, though, they pick up, like... construction site guy who are using the same
channel wavelength. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dan Forger, buddy.
Yeah. Or the, you know, the traffic stop-go people who are communicating with each other, everything like that. Now, somewhere in our house, one of these walkie-talkies was left on.
Yeah.
And every, I don't know, couple of minutes, a voice would break out and start talking as I'm trying to sit down in a nice quiet house working. I got to find this. I need to know. So I'd sit down and listen and then it'd crackle on and I'd come running out as fast as I can. All right, okay, hang on. Trying to, you know, in the movies, like where they're triangulating the position.
Yeah.
Of
certain
things. I'm like, hang on, is it in that bedroom?
Hot,
or is it in
cold,
that bedroom?
Cold, yeah. Hot, hot.
And I'd stand there, but it'd go quiet for that long. I'm like, well, I can't stand here for 5 minutes doing nothing.
Hilarious.
So I'd slowly go back. It'd crackle in and I'd be running again. After about, and this is no lie, it was probably an hour of maybe six or eight having to run out and try and pick it, I finally found it.
Yeah.
It was kind of like tucked on a shelf in like sort of near the passage and where Jetty's bedroom is type thing. And it's on. I've turned it off. But just that moment I've looked, I thought, where this is sitting right now, I feel like one of the boys has intentionally left the walkie-talkie on and sat it there and just thought, I'm going to mess with Dad after we go to school. Am I overthinking this and maybe giving them too much credit? Was I just unlucky, or are my kids like evil geniuses?
Yes, they're evil geniuses.
No, God, no. I think that that's probably left over from them having it set there to listen to your secret conversations with Dodsy.
Oh, a little bit of eavesdropping.
That's how I'd do it.
Oh, God. Well, maybe that's what's turned them evil.
I think they have just put it there not thinking. Now, the cameras that they've set up around your house, that is more evil.
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
I love the
very
fact,
careful.
Log, that as soon as I get in here, we get to talk some science.
I know.
That makes me so excited.
You're a massive science guy, as am I. And yesterday, across the skies of Victoria, we had so many videos sent in from Point Lonsdale, Torquay, Ballerine as well. Oh, Point Lonsdale is in the Ballerine. But we had a lot of videos because 5:30 a.m. roughly, there was something that flew across the sky. And it wasn't just like a shooting star, like whoosh, bit of light and then off. It was continually shining in our atmosphere. What the hell was it? And should we be worried? Mm. Dr. Carl is joining us now from holidays, might I add. Thank you so much, Dr. Carl, for joining us.
Good morning, Dr. Loggy, Dr. Lee, and Dr. Tom.
Good morning, Doctor. Do you have any idea what was making its way across our skies yesterday morning, Doctor?
It appears to be a bit of space junk, a re-entering satellite, and almost certainly it seems to be one of the Starlink satellites that came in, the ones that are used for internet. And we even got a number on it. It's Starlink satellite 5103, according to Professor Michael Brown from Monash University. So we even know which one it was. What was the size before it entered the atmosphere? About the size of a flatbed truck, 9 meters by 2 meters, but only about 10-20 centimeters thick, weighing about a third of a ton.
Whoa.
That could still cause some damage, though, if it hit you on the head, wouldn't it?
Sure, depending on its re-entry. And the thing is that we're increasing the number of satellites in orbit. We've gone from 2,000 working satellites back in 2017 to about 12,000 now.
Whoa.
We're heading to 30,000 working satellites by the time we get to the year 2030. And that means that with a five-year lifespan that they have before they re-enter, they will be having one enter the Earth every one and a half, enter the Earth's atmosphere every 1.5 hours.
Well, I'm glad I'm not using plastic straws anymore, because I wouldn't want to be polluting the ocean, Doctor.
Well, we already are polluting the stratosphere. So
yeah.
We're polluting the stratosphere in two ways. Firstly, there's a huge number of rocket launches going on. So as they go up burning their methane and liquid oxygen, they're polluting the stratosphere and causing damage. And then secondly, they're damaging it on the way down, on the way back as they burn up. And we've already found that, a little cough there, that 10% of all of the liquid particles in the stratosphere are already contaminated with vaporized metal from incoming satellites. And that's with the small number that we had back in 2025. By 2030, it's going to be maybe five times bigger. Wow. So we are heading for a major problem with polluting the stratosphere. And last time we did that, we end up with the ozone problem, but luckily the countries of the world got together and we stopped it.
Yeah, that is a concern. Now, we take your expertise as absolute gospel, Dr. Carl, as so we should. But are
no,
you sure?
I've just watched
the movie Greenland, starring Jared Butler, where there's a meteorite shower that does a whole bunch of damage. Are you sure there's not more of this to come, and this is really something else, and the government's not telling us exactly what's going on, is it?
In the movie Greenland, am I guessing there's some sort of alien intelligence that could perhaps be malevolent?
Not alien, more extinction-level event from meteorites.
Spoiler alert.
Asteroids hitting Earth. Think Armageddon, Bruce Willis type style stuff. You sure that's not happening?
It's difficult to make predictions about the future, but we are very confident with regard to the numbers of satellites that are planned to go up. And already we're very confident with the damage that they're causing and have caused. With regard to Armageddon, it's difficult to make predictions, although we were lucky. During the Cold War, the only reason that we avoided nuclear wipeout was that on three separate occasions, three military officers, two Russian, one American, disobeyed protocol. And it's the only reason that today we have antibiotics and electricity and painkillers.
Wow. Yeah.
There you go.
With this satellite, just quickly, Dr. Carl, if I did see a piece of satellite that fell in my backyard and I went up to touch it, is there anything on there from being in space that could make me sick?
The thing to worry about is a chemical called hydrazine. So these satellites have their own internal maneuvering capability. And often they use a chemical called hydrazine. It's just a tank. It's a liquid in a tank, and it just sits there under pressure for years and years and years. And then they release a valve, and then out squirts a hydrazine, and then it hits a mesh of fine platinum, and it turns into a gas, expands enormously. You got yourself a little baby rocket with only one single component, and all you need to do is just open the valve for a minute and then close it again.
Yeah.
The trouble with the hydrazine is that it's toxic to humans, and the way that you know that you've had a toxic dose that will kill you is after touching the bit of returning space junk, if you happen to touch the hydrazine tank, you taste fish in your mouth. Mm. And the moment you start tasting fish in your mouth, you know that it's too late, that nothing can be done for you, that you'll be dead shortly.
Okay. Oh.
That's insane, Dr.
That is, okay. That's,
wow.
We were all just shocked looking
don't,
at each
don't
other.
Don't taste fish. Got it.
Danger.
Use oven mitts to pick up the satellite. All right. Dr. Carl, as always, we really appreciate your time, especially taking time out of your holiday to talk to us this morning and inform us. Sounds like this isn't the last bit of space junk that we will see blazing a trail across the sky, but it's good to know that that's all it is. Thank you so much again.
Thank you very much, Dr. Tom, Dr. Lee, Dr. Loggy.
Tom and Loggy. That was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.